Robots Radio presents
Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast.
I'm not usually a hat fan, but wow.
Every like a and dagger.
I'm really sipping on that dumb bitch juice today, and
yeah, I am. But you know what? Someday I just might grow out of that. But you will never stop being a jerk.
All chocolate cakes are good. You're a fascist.
It's hideous.
It's horrible.
It's home.
Angry white boy, let's go!
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast mini-sodes. These are the teeny tiny episodes each week where we catch you up on what we've been watching and what we want to watch and what we definitely don't want to watch. That's Chad Ekowitz.
And that's Simone LaRue. So, what are the things that you have watched this
week, Simone? I've watched so many things. I watched Gunpowder Milkshake.
Ooh, that's the one with Karen Gillan.
Yes,
tell me all about it.
It is pretty fun. It's a bit of like a John Wick ripoff, but obviously with a gal.
Right.
And obviously I think it's got a bit more like comedic elements and it's very stylized. So it's very like bright colors and stuff, but it's fun. Yeah. It's got some solid fight scenes. I love every single thing that Michelle Yeoh and Carla Gugliano do. So watching them in action roles is a joy.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Gillan does a great job. It's a fun movie. Like, it's not, I don't think it's anything to like write home about.
Okay.
But it's a super fun, really like good looking movie with some really coolly choreographed fight scenes. There's one where Karen Gillan's arms are basically paralyzed.
Ooh, okay.
And she makes a plan and it's so much fun.
That's cool. That does sound really, really good. I definitely will. I've wanted to watch it because I do. Mm-hmm. I'm such a fan of Karen Gillan. So this movie just sounds right up my ballpark. Yeah. And getting a glowing review from you really sort of helps with that. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to start from worst to best of the things that I've watched.
Good idea.
So for the absolute worst thing that I've watched this week is Best Leftovers Ever. So this is a new show that's come up on Netflix. It's a cooking competition show, how unusual. And basically they take leftovers and they turn it into gourmet food.
Okay.
Now, the concept itself is really good and the stuff that they make is really, really interesting. And it gives little sort of tips at the bottom so
that's
that
cool.
You can like do stuff
like what?
And actually like learn stuff, which is really cool. So like, at one point they had to like do something with French fries, that had been like, so like they're old, they're oily,
soggy.
They're cold. Yeah. So they were just like, tip, soak them in milk for a while to sort of get the oil out of them and to revitalize the fry. And I was like, that's very
interesting. Wait, but what do you do after you've soaked them in milk?
You can cook them, you can refry them.
Oh, you just like pat them dry and like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'll be like reinvigorated. They won't be like super starchy and super oily.
I'm skeptical of this.
I am hesitant to try it, but also I know that in my household, leftovers are not a thing.
Yeah, I don't know what leftover chips are, really.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I think this is for a very niche audience that are using leftovers in this respect. The things that I didn't like about it, and I think this is why it's the worst thing I watched this week, is the hosts and the contestants themselves. And I say this with all the love in my heart for our American listeners, but they are just very American.
It's and just a lot.
It's just a lot to deal with, and it's a lot of energy. And when I want to watch a even the English judge on the thing is very American. And so when I want to watch like a cooking show, I want it to be a little bit more refined, a little bit more hesitant, not so fucking in your face all the time. So watch it, but watch it with a little bit of a backdrop.
Have you watched Zumbo's Just Desserts yet?
No, I haven't.
It's Australian,
really,
so it's also like a little bit more chilled, you know?
Yeah.
It's delightful.
I think the English and the Australians really have more the Australians than the English, but the Australians definitely have a market for cooking shows. Like Australian MasterChef, maybe one of the best shows of all time. Yeah. What else have you watched?
And then that was that night. And then I watched, I watched Classic Horror Story, which is on Netflix. It's actually,
is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's called A Classic Horror Story.
Wow. Okay.
It's an Italian film, but it's dubbed over in English.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun, actually. I wasn't mad at it. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like breathtaking storytelling or anything, but again, like, I liked it. It has some really good gory moments. It's got some good tension buildups in some points. It's got a nice twist about two thirds of the way through.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's solid actually. I was happy
with it.
It's
worth watching.
Like, yeah, this was a journey I was okay to come along on.
Right. Okay. Good to know. Very, very good to know. Lovely. Next on the list for me is Tattoo Redo. So it's a classic sort of, you know, tattoo mistakes and the tattoo artists redo them.
Oh, I love
really
stuff
fun
like that.
And exciting ways. It's so wonderful to see. The twist on this show, however, is that the person who brought the tattooed person in gets to choose the new tattoo. So say, for example, you had a really shitty tattoo. I brought you in to go and rescue it. I now get to choose your new tattoo.
Okay, I don't know if I trust anyone in my life enough.
Not even a little bit. I would not trust a single human being in my life for that. No. So it gets really, really tense when, you know, it's like in one of the episodes, sort of like the tattooed person is like, oh, I really hate flowers. And the boyfriend's like, I'm gonna give her a flower. And you're just like, motherfucker, that is a terrible idea because this is permanent ink. So, but honestly, it's such a lovely show. And like the hosts are really nice. The tattoo artists are really nice. And then, I mean, seeing tattoos, you know, like it just explodes your brain. I love seeing different tattoo ideas.
Me too. If I had the money.
Oh man. If I had, like, I wish you could just like replace your skin every like 20 years or something and just like be able to keep all the art.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Like, have new skin.
I had a dream the other day that I had a nice thigh piece. And it's all I've been thinking about now.
I kind of want to get a tattoo, like a calf tattoo.
Yeah.
But I don't wear shorts enough. But like, I really like the idea of a calf tattoo.
And you can always cover it up for formal events. That's like the nice thing about a good leg tattoo.
Yeah, exactly. What else?
What else did I watch? Or what other tattoos do I want to get?
I mean, we'll be here for hours if we talk about the tattoos that we want to get. Like, let's not. People can ask us on our Instagram if they want to, because, yeah, we're very happy to give a good TED talk about this.
Oh, yeah. What else did I watch? Okay, and then that brings us to Friday night, where I watched... Oh, no, that wasn't very good. I don't want to talk about that movie. I watched Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Magnificent Seven is, like, so I don't really love Westerns, but Rudy loves Westerns, so I'm going with his review on this, which is that it ignores all the stuff about Westerns that's cool, which is, like, a slow burn and, like, those long, quiet scenes where, like, what's not being said is, like, everything, and then, like, the building of the tension stuff, and it doesn't do any of that. It's basically a standard action movie that takes place in the Old West without being like super mindful of the genre. It's very boring. The characters don't really have great arcs. I didn't like it. I don't like Westerns to begin with, really, but like this wasn't even a good Western.
Fair. Okay. So one to skip.
Yeah, one to skip.
Unless you're a huge Western fan.
Yeah, and even then, like, even if you're a big Western fan, you probably won't like this.
Fair. Okay. So what is something that you would want to mention?
Oh, I have to tell you, I watched Fast 9, F9? F9: The Fast and Furious Saga.
Why is it not called The Fastening? Like, I don't understand.
Look, Chad... I have so many feelings about F9. First of all, it's actually... I want to start off by saying it's actually not terrible. Like, it feels like they actually wrote a really good script. And they were like, guys, this is too good. Like, we need to add at least 50 more lines of dialogue about the importance of family. And, like, a couple more cringy lines. So, like, overall, this movie's pretty great. And then, like, fucking Vin Diesel says something about family again because apparently it's fucking impossible for him not to. And you're like, okay, cool, great. It's cool seeing John Cena. The funniest thing is, like, so obviously in this movie, we find out that Dom has a brother and has had a brother this whole
time. And it's fucking John Cena.
Okay, like, they retcon a lot of stuff. You can't question it. You just have to move forward. You just have to
in what
forward.
World
Han comes back from the dead and they're like, hey, how? And he's like, it was a trick. And it's like, no, but Han, I need to know.
What?
Han,
that's,
I need to know.
So beautiful.
And he's like, fuck. No, it was just like an engineered thing. And you're like, Han,
what? Oh, that's so beautiful. I fucking love F9. You know what? It just needs to keep going crazier. Like, I can't wait for, like, 20 years down the line when you've got, Fast and the Furious 62, and we're just, like, in space. It's basically Star Wars, but family is still the most important thing. So like, they are literally destroying planets. Like, I fucking can't wait.
Vin Diesel, like, literally cannot talk to his son without, like, making it this profound thing about, like, family and stuff. And, like,
sake.
I have to imagine that this kid is like, cool, dad, I just want to play with my toys. Like, I don't...
It's like a very Simba-Mufasa relationship, but just not as cool.
It's so horrible. And then my favorite part is they then show like a bit of an origin story, right? Like the opening, some of the opening scenes are Dom seeing his father die. His father was a rally driver who died in a car crash. So they show, they cast instead of like just digitally aging them down, which I thought would have been the smart move, they've cast two different actors to play young John Cena and young Vin Diesel. And I will say, before I say something mean, that the actor who plays young Vin Diesel is actually very good. I think like, he's actually a better actor than Vin Diesel.
I mean, not hard.
And he has a great
do.
Intensity to him. I actually really liked young John, like, quote, young John Cena and young Vin Diesel. I thought they were great. But they also cast a man who looks 35 to play young Vin Diesel.
Interesting.
Like,
okay.
I was like, wait, is this supposed to be him?
Spectacular.
At the tender age of like 20.
Oh, it's that's so good.
It's all very funny.
Oh god,
I highly recommend checking it out. It's just a ridiculous movie. You're just there, you're like, here I am suspending my disbelief. Charlize Theron has a haircut that only she could pull off. She literally
Incredible.
Has a bowl cut.
Okay,
it is wild.
That is wild. That is,
and she's
insane.
So hot.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is great. Oh, fantastic. Like, I've wanted to watch this film for ages. So, yeah, I'm really excited to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know what? 10 out of 10 would recommend.
It's oh, so beautiful. I love it. I just love how ridiculous these films are. They are so dumb. They are so, so dumb. And that's what's beautiful about them. Oh, good Lord. That's great.
Yeah.
Tell me, the last thing I watched for this week also has John Cena in it.
Oh.
Can you guess what that movie is?
Movie with John Cena in it that you watched recently.
Brand new movie.
Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad. I went to
How
see it last night. So, it is better than the first one. I mean, it's very
bar.
Much not hard.
Yeah,
it's not hard to beat it. It took a direction that I did not think it was going to go.
Okay.
And I'm very happy that it went in that direction.
Okay.
Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, has such a beautiful big part in this movie. And Yay. She is so fucking awesome
She's
in
so
this.
She's so cool.
Like, she is such a helpless damsel in distress in the original.
Yeah.
And then they just make her this fucking cool badass in this one.
Awesome.
And it's awesome to watch. You don't have all this layering of sort of backstories that are just like wedged in.
Yeah.
So like you keep the you know, huge amount of characters, but it's sort of like, right, this is this guy's name, and then we're gonna tell you sort of a little bit about their history while the film goes along.
Yeah.
It's not sort of like this weird fucking, you know, exponential, you know, wank throughout, which is great. They sort of recognize that even though this is a reboot, it's a soft reboot in the fact that everyone knows what the Suicide Squad is about.
Yeah.
So, like, there's none of Perfect. The explanation of why they're pulling these teams together, which is very cool. You know what? It, like, the characters themselves are amazing. You've got the Shark Man, who is fucking hilarious.
Is he voiced
and brilliant.
By Sylvester Stallone?
I think he is. I'm not
100%
sure.
I'm pretty sure I read that.
But... Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So he's brilliant. You've got Flag from the first one, who's brilliant. Oh my god, Idris Elba is just perfect in this.
He always
like,
is.
Like, you can't go wrong. He's so good. My only issue, and it is the Idris Elba of it all, he kind of steals the show. And in an ensemble movie,
yeah.
you shouldn't really be stealing
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, you need to know how to be a supporting character.
Exactly. And because he is so good and he is cast as the sort of leader of the Suicide Squad, he becomes the protagonist, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, I mean, look, they tried to do that also with Will Smith in the first Suicide Squad. Unfortunately, he was just actually a very weak character and the movie wasn't good. So.
Very weak, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, honestly, and you know what's the greatest thing about this movie? No Joker. There is no Joker in this movie, Simone.
I'm thrilled. I always really enjoyed the Joker as a character, but I feel like now it's turned into like this weird manosphere incel-y vibe.
Definitely.
That like I'm not interested.
I don't feel
in it
anymore.
Right now.
Like, no, he's been Rick and Morty'd.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you've got these gatekeeping nerds who are just ruining it for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it.
Which is such a shame. But honestly, like, DC, for once, has not hurt us. They've actually done a good thing.
I'm so excited. I'll check it out.
Definitely check it out. Like, well done, DC, for actually, you know, being a good boyfriend for a change. Like, well done. Well done for flying that not red flag.
Okay.
I'm so proud of you.
Give us a good Constantine movie. Another one.
Do it now. Anything else you want to mention?
No, that, I'm on a high now.
Good. All right, so let's talk trailers. What are we excited for?
I watched the trailer for House of Gucci.
Oh my god, so excited, right?
I'm just
fucking
ready
hell.
To see Lady Gaga tear shit up. I'm ready to see Adam Driver do anything ever.
Oh my god.
It looks so fun. I'm thrilled.
Like, it looks incredible. Like, I don't give a shit really about fashion or anything like
that. Clearly. I mean, look at us.
Like, yeah, exactly. But, like, holy shit, this movie looks insane. And I'm so ready. Like murder, intrigue, family betrayal. Fucking gold. Mm. I think this movie is going to be insane. It's going to be really, really good.
Lady Gaga's coming for her next Oscar, guys. And I am here for it.
Yeah, unstoppable. That woman is unstoppable.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it, but I'm also not excited for King Richard.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Yes. So for those of you who haven't seen the trailer for King Richard, it is definitely not what you think it is. It's basically the story of Venus and Serena Williams as they grow up and become tennis stars. Now, I don't know about you, but my problem with this movie is it seems very Will Smith dad focused.
Yeah.
And not focused enough on Venus and Serena.
Yeah, like, and I guess that's interesting. Like, I mean, maybe there is something to be said, obviously, about how, like, their dad played a large role in their childhoods and stuff. But, like,
yeah,
to be honest, I don't really give a shit about their dad. I want to know more about them. And I give even less of a shit about their dad played by Will Smith.
Yeah, I like Will Smith, don't get me wrong, but I am just tired of seeing his face.
Like, let's bring other black actors in, guys.
Come on, guys. You've got such a diverse cast. Like, let's just stop this now. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I saw this trailer and it's so Will Smith focused and it's so not focused on the girls who play Venus and Serena Williams. And I was just like, what is this supposed to be? What are what is the focus here? Like, I'm very confused. And you know what? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe they just chose, like, because it's Will Smith and he's leading the movie, like, maybe they just chose the trailer for that so that people will go and see it. But
it's also
cautiously optimistic
King Richard,
for that one.
So.
Yeah. What else are you excited for?
To be honest, I was not super stoked by a lot of the trailers that came out this week.
No.
Like, it was all very, like, Cannes Film Festival type stuff, which I don't really care about. It was also like there's still another trailer for No Time to Die, and it's like, oh, okay, we're still doing that.
Yeah, they just need to release it now. Like, I'm so tired of seeing it. It's getting released on my birthday. I'm annoyed by it.
I truly don't give a single shit.
No, it looks like, fuck, I'm so done with Bond. Like, it just needs to stop. Can we just stop it? Yeah. Very excited about Lamb. That's the last thing I want to mention.
Looks weird.
Very weird film. So it's from the trailer, it looks like a sheep gives birth to a half human, half lamb hybrid, but then the sheep keeps following around the farmers who decide to raise it.
I understood it. So what I may be editorializing a bit. but what it looked like to me was like it's a couple that's lost their child. So, like, their grief, they, like, take this little lamb to raise, like, it's a baby. But it's not a baby.
Right.
It's a sheep. And then the other sheep are very mad about that.
Yeah, it looked, like, it wasn't super clear from the trailer. And it looks like it could be a horror movie, or it could just be, like, this weird tension thriller. Mm. Either way, I'm quite excited about it. I'm probably going to watch it.
I'm probably not. Unless you say it's really good. Unless you're like, oh my god, Smote, it's so good. Then I'll check it out. But otherwise, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah? Okay. Interesting. It's not very often that we're divided in terms of horror movies.
No,
usually,
I know. But I was just
this is interesting.
Maybe I'm just intimidated. I was like, this looks a little too highbrow for me. This looks a little too smart.
The ending is just a lamp that's just, like, moving, just, like, swinging, and the light's just casting, and that's how, then roll credits.
And then people are like,
oh, I'm dumb.
Incredible.
Yeah. Oscar-worthy. Anything else you want to mention? Because, I mean, like you say, it was very little and far between. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
What have you guys watched this week? How do we feel about the rise of John Cena and other wrestlers turned actors? You know, I think his name is it Wayne Johnson? Wayne John Stone. He's coming up from WWE, isn't he? I think he was in The Scorpion King. That's the only thing I kind of remember him
from. Yes, I hope he's well.
Yeah, you know, he's not in a lot, but I think he's doing all right. So, yeah, like, obviously John Cena's the big one. Yeah. He's the big wrestler turned actor.
Shit.
And Batista.
Chad, sorry. I know we were just signing off, but I just remembered the last movie I watched.
Yes,
I watched The Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh, what did you think? Let's talk about
Honestly, I was surprised by how good it was. I think I liked it a lot more because John Krasinski wasn't in it that much.
Oh, shit. That is a hot take.
I don't like him. He has a face like a Muppet, and they keep casting him in action roles. I don't understand it. But anyway.
Okay. Wow.
This is a lot for you.
That is, okay. Like, what a way to, like, fucking break up the ending of this episode. Just like,
He has giant Disney Prince eyes, and they're like, oh, action hero, because he's got a beard. It's like, okay, it's okay.
Look, I agree with you there. He's Jim from The Office, not Jim from fucking Jack Ryan, motherfucker. Like,
I'm surely joking.
I agree with you, but he's a good dad. What are you on about? Okay, but let's forgive that. Forget that. No. Oh, okay, we're not going to do that. Fine. What did you think of the rest of the movie?
Honestly, I really liked the movie. I was surprised by how much I liked it. Loved to see my boy Cillian Murphy there just being, like, stealing the show in every single scene he's in. Like, he's such a good actor. And I like that the daughter kind of got her own little subplot where, like, it's not just her mom protecting her anymore. Thought Emily Blunt did a great job. There were some scenes where I genuinely jumped. Like, they did not telegraph some of the jump scares at all. It was very good.
Uh-huh.
As always, I do think that the creature design of the monsters is so good. This is something we talk about a lot, where, like, if you're going to show your monsters, your creature design better be on point. And this one definitely was.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you. I do feel like, you know, with the second one, you had to show the monsters more. Although, you know, we're both not fans of them showing the monsters more, but, you kind of have to in
their
second one.
Their movements were so good. Like, whatever team worked on those, like, did an amazing job.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, on that basis, thank you guys so much for listening. And we really appreciate you guys sticking with us for our impromptu formulas and the way we change things up. We're just going to keep you on your toes forever. Forever and ever, we're going to keep you on your toes. Maybe that's what we'll do from now on with the minisodes. We'll look like we're ending things. And then boom, suddenly we're straight back into
strong it. Strong John Krasinski opinions.
But if you want to reach out to us, tell us what you think about John Krasinski. Should he be an action hero? Should he be on the Muppets itself as just himself? Let us know. And where can they do that, Simone?
They can talk to us on Facebook or Instagram at Fresh Tomatoes Podcast, on Twitter at Fresh Tomatoes MP. You can email me your furious essays about John Krasinski at freshtomatoespodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm straight up going to let you field those ones. I'm not touching that.
We're just going to go straight into the junk pile, my guys.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I mean, the irony of what I'm going to say next is very paramount. But as we say at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it except for your shitty emails.
We love
I guess.
You. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm proud of you for having an opinion. I just don't care about it.
Goodbye, I guess.
Oh, I've ruined us.
You've been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.